Welcome to Featured Creatures.
I am America's number 5 prop comic, Alan.
And I am Anne Rice.
And I'm a car that drove by right when I'm trying to get room tone.
Cool. Is that one of those Stephen King thinking cars?
Oh, it's like a Christine
one kind of his
thing.
17 novels about a car that's haunted.
I said one of. I don't know which one.
But it's definitely not. It's from a Buick 8, not the car.
So back to your Anne Rice thing, Shefton.
Yes.
I haven't looked it up in a long time. Not since I lived with my grandparents.
Yeah.
But I'm like, let me look up her like Wikipedia page, because like, what the fuck ever happened to her? So after her like Vampire Chronicles movies, she like got like really into being Christian.
Yeah.
And
it happens.
And then started releasing like a bunch of weird like angel themed books
that are very similar.
Like they weren't selling well, and then she just went back to writing Lestat novels. Yeah. And like, oh no, I wasn't that Christian. Also, she is very like terrible to people who write fan fiction.
Oh yeah.
Well, this checks out.
Yeah.
In the same way that, and this is going to be controversial, in the same way that traditional artists behave towards AI artists. I'm just throwing that out there.
Oh, no. We're doing this again.
So, today's
okay, feature. No. Wait, I got something important to say. No. So, this is crazy. And I actually was like, whoa, this is cool because this sucks. I saw ELO last night.
Yeah.
And they had the big spaceship thing. Mm-hmm. And in the middle, they were showing straight up AI generated art. Because they did Evil Woman, which is like all these like demon manga girls like doing the face morph. And then there was another one, which is a bunch of trains turning. But yeah, I was like, oh man, they just got some intern to just, they just AI'd it.
Yeah, they said crank them out. They said, no, you got to do it live and we'll influence the algorithm with our music.
Yeah, do it.
Oh, just do it live. Yeah, like use that as the seed. I'm telling you.
No, but if we just had Jeff Lynne's face doing that, that would have been cool. But yeah. They didn't do that. So, but I was shocked. Like the 75-year-old man decided you were just press the AI button.
Yeah, I agree.
And then they blinded me with strobe lights, and I hated it.
Yeah. They played Mr. Blue Sky.
They did. And you know what? The thing is, the other controversial thing. Did you guys know that the vocoder voice says, "Please turn me over"?
No,
that's not saying Mr. Blue Sky.
I mean, it checks out.
Yeah, exactly. But the guy did it. He said,
"There's a lot of those audio illusions."
Well, I was just lazy.
I mean, do you think they thought it said Mr. Blue Sky? You think that's
Everyone in the universe did, except for them.
Are you sure they thought that?
Yeah.
You sure they didn't know?
No, because it's it's this last side of the album.
Okay, I see.
You're supposed to turn it over, but fans that are in their 60s are just figuring this out and freaking out. And I didn't. It's not. This is bad. This was what happens if you let AI take over. Retrospectively.
I don't know that I follow that argument. I'm not following that one.
This is my master's degree thesis, trust
okay.
me.
You know, all right, you pass. I'm on your review board, you pass.
Thank you, that's all I ask. But they used AI, sorry, I don't know, Garrett, I don't know what that means.
So
that's my ultimate goal, is to get on the review board for PhDs.
I'm going to read a quote.
No PhD myself.
I'm going to read a quote that a movie director said about AI.
Okay, all right, I got to hear this.
And then I want you to guess the director.
Yeah.
Unless you absolutely know it, and then the other
person. If I know it, I'll tell you, but I don't think I do.
All right. Speaking about AI, it doesn't create. It just imitates. And will create a whole bunch of lazy people. So to all the original creators out there, have no fear.
It's familiar, but I don't know who said it.
It's Martin Scorsese.
Nope.
Oh, really?
It's going to be the guy who made Minions.
No, it's going to be some like really ironic. It's like George Lucas.
It's Michael Bay.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. There we go.
See, I feel like that's the most like coherent argument in favor of AI proliferation. And then Michael Bay feels like he has somebody to talk down to.
Oh, you mean like the person who spent a fuck ton of money to get the rights to the Skibidi Toilet cinematic franchise? Like,
exactly.
Oh, here's an article of how Skibidi Toilet became one of the most valuable franchises in Hollywood.
You gotta love it. This is just proving that stealing content to make dumb content is the right way. So I support Brian learning how to torrent.
Like, I also
steal
completely
things, kids, you can get a franchise. All
right.
Hey, look, when Alan, you might remember CalArts. It has a different name now, but they used to have the CAP program back in like 2000.
Yeah, still CAP.
Is it still CAP? That's crazy. Yeah. That's remarkable because I know. they had anyway. Literally one of the projects they had us doing, and this was like at the time, this was like the assistant dean of admissions that was in charge of this.
Yeah,
they were like, oh well, we're gonna like do like a quick run through on like just like audio, like CD production. So like, we want to make, we want you to make like art for it. So just like, we're going to just like make art, but just like, we're also going to have you like burn a CD of music, like just so that there's like a physical thing you can have.
Yeah.
So like, we're going to use Napster and download some music. It was like, wait, what? Yeah,
this is normal protocol. We're just going to use YouTube MP3. Just,
well, it was crazy. Cause one of the people, one of the TAs in this was a TA at CalArts. And he was like, yeah, it's actually crazy. They're having us do this because people are getting in trouble on campus for doing this.
Well, that's true, because that is the problem, is the schools got sued.
Yeah.
When Metallica did that,
all they had to do was put more Saint Anger friggin' snare drum on all their albums, and they would have eliminated their problem.
Yeah.
So today's grab bag.
We can't just keep having this conversation.
No.
Because I think Lars Ulrich is maybe the ultimate folk monster. If he doesn't have a Cryptids wiki page, he needs one.
Lake Baikal Swimmers.
Is this like Lauren Bacall?
No, Lake Baikal is a lake in Russia.
Okay.
That I know of from two different sources. Last podcast did their USO episode, the Unexplained Submerged Objects.
Yes.
And Lake Baikal was in that. And Lake Baikal is like the second big fight location in Undead Unluck.
Is that an anime?
I mean, yeah.
But it's not the one that's Dan Dan, right?
No, that's a different one. That's the one that knows its fucking shit.
Okay.
The fucking the villain aliens are from Serpo.
Oh.
Yeah, and well, like, I mean, the second episode, they fight a sumo wrestling Flatwoods monster.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well,
they know their shit. There's a page I posted a long time ago that was talking about when Obama was in the secret space force on Mars.
Yeah.
This is all a fact. Yes.
Yeah, like that's in like the first chapter.
All right.
It knows its stuff.
Yeah.
It's well researched. It's familiar with the literature, you might say.
Yeah. They have some pamphlets and some self-published books.
They have some beliefs about
the Lake Baikal Swimmers. The Lake Baikal Swimmers sighting was an extraterrestrial sighting in Lake Baikal, located in Siberia, near the border with Mongolia, and the greatest... Wow, this is just a weird, run-on, terrible sentence. I missed you, Obscurebin.
Well, I mean, look, you're on the cryptids wiki.
No, I'm on Obscurebin.
Okay. All right. Well,
you ChatGPT'd this. It would just have a bunch of like conditionals, but it would be crazy. Well, some may say that no one can know what a body of water is, but if there was a body of water, there would be Lake Baikal Swimmers, and it would be even longer, but it would be coherent.
Lake Baikal. Yeah, it would be punctuated well.
Lake Baikal has a depth. Greatest. Its deepest point is 1,642 meters.
Okay.
It's a deep fucking lake.
No, but is it small? Is it just one big blob?
No, it's pretty big.
Oh, okay. So evenly spread.
Evenly spread.
Many rare species of plants and animals live in it, and according to many witness statements, some unknown species are also said to exist. According to witnesses...
Can you put the X-File sound?
Nope. It's not on my board anymore.
Well, that's it. That's a note for when you edit visually.
What was that sound, Alan? You want to do that one more time?
That's the X-File sound.
Oh,
I edited the movie.
All right, let's get one clear one. There we go.
Sorry.
So unknown plants.
So, one of the things I know about it because of that last podcast episode is it has a lot of like seals in it called Nerpa.
Yeah.
Nerpa. Like written. I gotta see what this looks like.
Yeah, the Baikal seal or Nerpa. Nerpa.
Oh, that's a cute little guy. Yeah. It's just like a seal. It's a hunt. If you know what a seal looks like, you've seen this.
Yeah. It was a little guy. Little Nerpa.
Little Nerpy.
According to witnesses, the lake is inhabited by a huge sturgeon-like creature, which some say is a result of water being polluted by waste.
And that's the swimmer?
Others believe that it is rather an unknown mammal with aggressive behavior. The descriptions simply revolve around a fish-like creature with a prominent fins that could theoretically have entered the lake via one of the 366 rivers and streams that feed the lake.
And so that's the swimmer.
Many fishermen who fish on the lake have already come up with stories about a huge creature that suddenly emerged from the depths, or about a huge dark silhouette that moves in the depths of the lake. However, there is still no direct evidence to confirm that existence of unknown creatures in the lake. Wow. To confirm the existence of unknown creatures in the lake. However, the most bizarre case allegedly happened in 1982 when divers of a military navy went to the lake for a diving training 50 meters below the surface. However, they came into contact with special machines that moved underwater at a much faster rate than the Russian army had at the time.
So that's the swimmer, the mechanical device.
Yeah, pretty much. But what was even more strange, the divers also came across humanoid beings in silver overalls, which they tried to catch. However, three of the seven divers were killed by the creatures.
What? Whoa. I remember.
Oh, that's not true. this is a lie.
Why do I know about these silver men, silver pants? Is this somewhere else?
Maybe.
But it's a lie. What happened?
So they weren't killed by the creatures. The seven divers, like, all surfaced too fast and got the bends. And the only place with, like, the decompression chamber or whatever close enough to, like, fix them, it could only fit two. So they put four people in there and three of them died. And then the other four didn't get fixed correctly because it was meant to fit two people and not four. And then they just were disabled for the rest of their life.
But it was the NERPA's fault. It wasn't the government's fault.
It's crazy to think that's like the least Russian thing I've ever heard. They were like, well, you know what? Let's try to save them all. Instead of it being like, you surface too soon. Bullet to the back of the head.
Trivia. 1982, when divers of the military navy went to the lake for diving training. This is literally just copy and pasted from The Appearance.
Well, it's trivia, technically.
They saw a copy and paste.
Yeah, wow. It literally, they just repeat the net. Wow. This site sucks.
What if we started becoming moderators for Obscurbin? Do you think that'd make our lives better or worse?
It would make me an unsleeping nightmare human.
Yeah.
I would become one of the things from The Descent.
Oh, there we go. That's the trivia section. The moderators are the creatures from Descent.
Creature 2, the right. Purple glob.
Okay, this is more what I like.
Let me guess, it's purple and globby.
You'd think so, but only under the right conditions.
Oh, interesting.
The purple glob was an extraterrestrial sighting. Purple, jelly-like. Literally, the purple glob was an extraterrestrial sighting, purple, jelly, -like. Substance that was discovered in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, period.
I love the idea that they just went hog wild with with commas.
The purple glob was an extraterrestrial sighting, purple jelly-like substance that was discovered in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That doesn't, like, it's missing something, right?
Hyphen between jelly.
It needs more extraneous punctuation.
Extraterrestrial sighting, purple jelly-like.
Well, I mean,
a purple jelly-like substance that was discovered, not just purple jelly-like substance.
In English, you can use commas as though they were parentheses. It's not incorrect, and it looks bad, but it's not incorrect. So, like,
no, like,
does it make more sense parenthetically? Because, like,
no,
I don't think so.
It makes less sense, parenthetically.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry, Obscurbin. I was trying to go to bat for you.
Like, it was an extraterrestrial sighting. Purple jelly-like substance. It should be like a purple jelly-like substance.
Yeah, they're trying to do, like, this comma space that comma space and that, but it doesn't work. I agree. Yeah.
On September 27th, 1950, the Philadelphia Inquirer newspaper published an article with the unusual headline, "Flying Saucer Just Disintegrated."
Okay.
It was about two police officers named Joe Keenan and John Collins who had spotted something falling from the sky the night before. However, their observation eventually resulted in an even more bizarre experience that they could not explain.
Okay. More bizarre than the UFO simply disintegrating.
According to the officers themselves, that evening, both were patrolling in a company car until at one point they reached an abandoned side street. As soon as they rounded the corner, they noticed a kind of shapeless glowing mass drifting down from the sky towards a nearby field. So they didn't hesitate and set out to investigate the whole thing. I'm getting like an ad in the corner for what looks like fucking, oh man, I don't know, man.
In the corner of Obscurban?
Yeah. They look like, just like banana hammocks, but there's no like strap around the back. It's just like, it's like someone's wearing it, but you don't see the person. Like the Invisible Man is just wearing a banana hammock.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's imperfect because it doesn't have the back. Yeah. So they're not that invisible. I see.
It's just distracting.
AI generated.
AI altered, perhaps.
They described shaky arched pile of purple gelatin. That's also missing something. Like they described shaky arched pile of purple gelatin.
Yeah, it's missing the article A.
Yeah.
Does it not have that at the beginning?
No. They described shaky arched pile of purple gelatin.
Okay. Well, that's the proper noun, Garrett. You know, in the same way that you would say they described
Garrett. Only thing capitalized is the T in they.
Exactly. Hear me out on this. I don't want to start another preposterous argument, so I'm sorry in advance. It's basically like the O, all right? This is the only time you'll hear me make this defense.
That makes even less sense. Which,
tragically, you know, I take that back. I take all of it back. All this is in recording. I'll never support the O. I'll never support it.
The O?
There is a mobile suit. Oh, like,
never mind. I don't even want to unleash this nightmare.
I regret everything. There's a robot in Gundam called the O.
Oh.
Like, and it has V capitalized, or like T capitalized, lowercase H-E, yeah, no, and then a capital O, because that's it's the O.
The hyphen O.
No hyphen. It's just the O.
Yeah, that's his name.
Yeah. So Shefton doesn't think the should be capitalized?
No. So that is correct in the same way that you would capitalize it for like the HMS Pinafore or
the O.
Yes. Matthew specifically, friend of the podcast, Matthew, has said, "Oh, I want to get it wasn't even the O. It was I want to get a the O," is what he said.
Yeah.
He wanted to purchase the model.
Because that's what its name is. The O.
It is incredibly grammatically incorrect. The O. But it's okay.
Did you know that Gundam is the first isekai?
Creator of Gundam made first isekai anime, which was Aura Battler Dunbein. Because back in the 80s, isekai was a strictly mecha genre.
Wow.
Yeah. And then
you may recall such hits as Escaflowne.
Yes.
Oh, there we go.
I say hits. I have no idea how popular that actually is.
I actually want to borrow that from you, because
borrow back your box set of it.
Yeah, I want to see if I still
hate it. Okay, I'm pretty sure I've never watched it. I think I know exactly where it's at. I'll try to remember to get it to you.
Because I remember not liking it.
Yeah, you were like, I'm just gonna throw this away. And I said, yeah, I'll take that. I might maybe watch it one day.
Yeah, so I want to see if I still hate it or not, because I do love mechs with capes.
Oh.
I remember thinking the people are kind of ugly, but not Klasky Chupo ugly, so it's kind of hard for me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anywho.
The O.
Confused, the guards claimed that the chest glistened in the...
What chest? Wait, hold on. Yeah, because I was going to say the same thing. Can I ask a question real quick? Yeah. Did you say where this took place at, and I missed it
so many times?
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah, this sounds like Foxfire to me. Not the Elton John album.
No, Foxfire's like will-o-wisps, right?
Yeah, the will-o-the-wisp. Yeah.
This Swamp is literally a pile of goo they're looking at on the ground.
Well, because they said that it like fell down. They saw the thing like falling.
Yeah.
First.
And then they saw a pile of goo like slowly falling.
Yeah, it fell down. They did some drugs and they just, you know, confabulated the rest.
Confused, the guards claimed that the chest glistened in the light of the flashlights and measured less than 2 meters in diameter. Still don't know what chest, but however, when they both turned off their flashlights, they saw the thing emit its own soft light reminiscent of bioluminescence, which dimly illuminated the surroundings. However, the strangest thing was that the mass sometimes shook, which looked as if it were a living creature.
Your Honor, by their own admission, the officers in question were confused. I only posit they were confused about everything.
Okay, here's what is labeled under trivia.
The whole story.
Cook
copied and pasted.
Cook claimed that the object appeared to be solid enough, so he persuaded the others to try to lift it. So they surrounded the chest. What fucking chest?
Yeah, I don't see this.
Yeah.
And Collins was the first to dare. But to his surprise, he found that as soon as he touched the thing, it fell apart in his hands. Bits of gelatin stuck to his hands and fingers for a while, but they also evaporated very quickly.
Hmm. What year was this?
1950.
I mean, is it... I'm gonna concoct a scenario based...
Time-traveling gag.
You read my mind. No, is it possible that it was, like, they saw Foxfire and then followed it and found, like, some kind of, like, what do you call it? Like, anti-fire slurry? Did it say what time of year this was?
Yeah, September.
Okay, like, that doesn't quite check out.
Did they have fire retardant gel back in...
In the 50s?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Because it would more or less behave like that. It would be like a pinkish-colored foam, right? That's like the fire retardant slurry?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. I mean, honestly, maybe they just made the whole thing up. Or maybe this is some as-of-yet-unidentified space-faring treasure chest that doesn't resemble a chest in any other way, but somehow they knew to describe it that
way. Wow. The practical use of gels was limited until the 1950s, as advancements in copolymerization techniques led to reproducible batch-wise preparation of swellable resins with uniform cross-linking. This technology was later used in the development of substantially continuous adherent particulate coating composition of water-swollen gel particles of... Okay, so it was later used, but like...
So hear me out, right? This is the Area 51 false flag to try to test in the wild this, technology of alien origin. And these poor rubes stumbled upon it, risking
the water-absorbent polymers and fire-retardant gels are similar to those used in diapers.
Oh, another known alien technology. I love the complete silence after hyperbole here.
I'm still thinking about the oh, I'm sorry. I have not been paying attention.
Oh, I'm sorry, Alan. See, this is why I tried to stop it before it started.
I know you did, but I just...
Ultimately, it's my fault. I brought it up. I didn't try hard enough in advance to stop it. But I mean, otherwise, is there any context where this thing even resembles what could be described as a chest?
We still got two more bullet points in this trivia, so maybe we'll get this fucking answer.
By the way, it was a chest from space.
So it didn't take long for the guards to watch as the entire purple pile gradually dissolved before their eyes. It took a little over half an hour until there was no tangible evidence of the sighting. So it was never possible to figure out that this shapeless but apparently living matter was from the sky was even by guesswork. However, the movie monster that inspired it stayed on the cinema screens for a long time, which even exceeded the expectations of the creators, so this case had an interesting ending, at least in fiction. Doesn't even mention the blob, just fucking says the movie that inspired it. What the fuck? Yeah, no, it does not mention the word chest except for those two times. Yeah, that's... Ugh.
Yeah, what a nightmare this is.
Yep.
Love it. This is horrible. This is our worst episode we've ever made. I love
it. That is not true. I don't think it is.
No, I'm just saying next time I've been paying attention.
You've been too psychologically damaged by the O.
The fact or
fault. Does the O look cool?
Yeah, kinda. It looks awesome.
Okay. Oh, kind of. Oh,
well, I think it looks pretty. Well, I'm gonna look. I'm gonna reserve my judgment until right, I see.
Right. Let's see.
Maybe I'm just biased against the pilot.
That is 100%. I don't know anything about it, and I know that's true. I know that your perception is clouded by the pilot.
This thing looks funny. I don't get it. Why is it called the? I'm not.
There's no reason in the show why it's called the O. Like, that's just its name.
Who's the pilot? Never mind.
His name is
Paptimus
Scirocco.
It doesn't change anything, Garrett. I don't need to know these things.
He is the captain of the Jupiterus, which is a helium 3 harvesting ship that was returning from
the ones that took all the world's helium.
Well, all the moon's helium.
No, they were going to Jupiter.
Sorry, Jupiter's helium.
So they were back from their like 5-year or like trip there.
I see.
Yeah, but he has like dumb knee hands.
No, those are under his skirt has the like
knee hands.
The little arms with the swords.
Sorry,
I don't want to know any more about this goddamn Gundams.
All I'm saying is he can wield, like, dual-wield machine guns in his hands, and then out from his little skirt comes a pair of arms that wield lightsabers. All right, this guy's pretty cool. He's kind of over with me, brother. That's all I'm saying.
The O. Okay.
The Falkville Metal Man.
Okay.
Sighting.
Is he Gundam also?
No, it was an extraterrestrial sighting that took place in the...
Wait, what's the title again? What's his name?
Falkville Metal Man.
Ooh, okay.
In Falkville, Alabama. The witness...
Okay, he's a metal man.
The witness was a 26-year-old police chief.
Okay.
That's in 1973.
Well, look, he ran for... It's an elected position, so... Yeah,
his name is Jeff Greenhaw.
Greenhaw.
The humanoid entity appeared to be wearing some kind of silvery metallic suit that resembled thick aluminum foil. Its head and neck seemed to be fused together and seemed to reflect a lot of light. Greenhaw also noted that the thing had an antenna sticking out from the top of its head and its movements were jerky and mechanical. Despite his fear during the encounter, Jeff Greenhaw still managed to snap 4 photographs of the entity, so he's better than Shepton and Matt.
Whoa. That is true. Whoa. He is better than us.
But is he funnier when they roasted it?
He was too afraid to roast it. The first one showed,
ironically,
showed nothing, but the last 3 showed the creature pictured above. These photos are pretty bad. Okay. They are like definitely 70s photos of
a man in a suit.
A man, like a tinfoil mummy.
I'm going to be honest, though. It's kind of compelling.
Wait, but what's this creature's name?
Falkville Metal Man.
Okay.
Also known as the Metal Man of Alabama.
Oh, I like this guy. See, this is the stuff I like.
Greenhaw described the entity as being able to clear 3 meters in a single stride while running.
Wearing Christmas lights.
He can clear 3 meters, like roughly 9 feet.
9
right?
feet. Yeah.
In a single stride.
Yeah, I mean, he'd have to be so tall.
Greenhaw's experience was instantly met with skeptical derision and even outright ridicule. We should have never elected a police chief so young. Some ufologists believe that the Metal Man was a robotic scout for an extraterrestrial landing craft.
So it's the Mark I armor of the Hopkinsville Goblin, of the Flatwoods Monster.
It says it's similar to the Pascagoula creatures, but I don't think so.
No.
I don't know if I've ever seen a photo of them.
There's drawings.
I've never seen a photo, but I've seen the drawings. I like the drawings, though.
I'm Googling it right now.
They got, like, pincy claws and, like, weird noses pointed in, like, every direction.
They're like that Swiss Family Robinson annoying guy, but cooler. Like, kind of like... Elvish robots.
Hold on, what?
Yeah,
I don't know what I'm.
Are you talking about Lost in Space or Swiss Family Robinson?
I don't care. It's all the same, Garrett. I have a fever.
I mean, Lost in Space is.
Oh, I recognize the Pascagoula. Yeah. I know.
The reference
I'm
making is Old Goryeo by Balzac. I'm sorry. People don't know that, but in the English translation, they are talking about the Pascagoula alien.
Oh.
They hit it.
Okay. This was Balzac talking about the Pascagoula creature.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't let him fool you, man.
Interesting.
Well, I think we're done.
Yeah. The real question is, can Pascagoula beat a hippo? No, I'm going to say it depends on the artist rendering, because I'm seeing some crazy ones of this guy.
That sighting is...
he's not very nimble.
Oh, that's true. He couldn't dodge. He'd have to take the charge, and he probably couldn't withstand it.
Really chomped
up. I don't know. He isn't an alien metal man.
That is also true. Who knows?
Yeah. But if the alien metal man is a guy with a high contrast black and white photo wearing Christmas lights, he will kill the hippo and everyone in it. Those things are not safe.
That's plug mendations.
I don't have a plug emendation per se, but I do want to give maybe a brief rundown on some of the movies I've watched recently in honor of Halloween.
All right. Yeah, that's pretty much what I was going to do for my plug.
I believe the last time we recorded, I mentioned that I watched a movie called Slasherette Party.
No.
I did. The long story short, the movie sucked until like the last 10 minutes, and then it was really interesting, and it's a shame that it was hamstrung by its low production. But it had a great name, so, I mean, I'd love to see it remade one day. What else did I... I watched some good stuff, I think. Like, last night I watched Poltergeist 2 and 3, a favorite of me and Alan, talked about Poltergeist 3 a lot. Because I'd never actually seen all of it. I'd seen, like, the first half. And that's another one where, like, it gets really interesting about halfway through. The weirdest thing about that one to me, Alan, was that... Donna from Twin Peaks is in that movie, also named Donna, and it was very jarring.
That is pretty weird.
But I started watching Trick or Treat last night, and I got probably about a half hour in before I decided to go to bed. The anthology film? As far as I know, it's not an anthology film. The one with the little patchwork child is like the
mascot.
That's
an anthology film.
Is it an anthology?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
It's a bunch of different interconnected stories that are all separate until the end.
Okay, it did not feel very anthological.
It doesn't have
as I was watching.
It's not like ABC's of Death or anything where like it's set up as an anthology.
I get like I'm only having seen as far into it as I did. I can see it now, kind of, but it's definitely cut together more fluid.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yes.
So it like, which is a weird way to think about it, because it's like less anthological than like what do you call it? Than like Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
You know, and even then, like, that's on the looser end of anthology to me. But I digress. It was pretty cool. I did watch one movie that sucked so unbelievably bad that I'm just confused and bewildered.
Yeah.
I watched Return to Salem's Lot from 1987. And it's like one of those sequels where it just disregards absolutely everything except for one thing from the original.
Mm-hmm.
For no reason. And likewise, this is a theme. It got good in like the last like half hour. It became interesting, but like the music is bad, the production quality is bad. They shot it in like you could tell it was like an old colonial town that was going to be torn down, and so they could just like shoot there. I was super disappointed because it had the main actor from one of my favorite movies of all time, The Stuff, in it.
Oh.
I can't remember the actor's name now. It's like Dan Quayle or something like that. It's not Dan Quayle. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I was saying.
Michael Moriarty is the main guy, and I actually really liked him in that movie. And I thought
I've
he'd be
heard that name. Is he in a lot of Star Trek?
I'm gonna look right now because probably. Let's see. Oh, he was in Taken. Yeah, I don't know. He might have written a lot of Star Trek. I'm not sure. But at any rate, I liked him in the movie, I guess. But yeah, like nothing else about it was very good. It really sucked, and I was disappointed. Oh, dude, he's in Q the Winged Serpent. Dude, I gotta watch that.
Oh.
Yeah, he might actually be in like a lot of movies that I like. But also in a lot of movies that suck, it looks like. I'm looking at it right now.
It doesn't seem... he's not in any Star Trek. Where did I hear that name from?
I would be very surprised if they didn't reference him in... any number of podcasts that you listen to.
Well, that's
by virtue.
I know it's the Star Trek podcast I listen to, you mentioned, and that's why I thought it was Star Trek.
Mm.
But it does not seem to be.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But needless to say,
he plays Hitler in a movie called Hitler Meets Christ.
Oh.
What? Huh?
Hitler Meets Crisis is a film that premiered at the Cinequest Film Festival in 2007 and went on to play in other festivals. It was written as a play then titled Hitler and Christ Meet Death at the Port Authority Bus Station by Michael Moriarty while he was living in New York and acting.
Oh my god, he does look like Hitler!
Oh no.
It was adapted to the screen and moved to Vancouver, British Columbia. And then 2010, it was released on DVD.
Well, I gotta try to see this.
I'm not seeing it. I guess I just gotta type in Michael Moriarty Hitler. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he said, no, actually, he looks kind of exactly like him.
that's a bad thing. It's like, oh, yeah, you know what you look like?
Is that, you just walk up to some rando on the street and give him the finger square. Like, yeah, dude, hey, look, I'm adapting a book to film, and I want you to come down and check it out. Here's the book, and you just hand him Mein Kampf. What the hell?
Jesus.
That'd be crazy. You gotta just start doing it to like random people that don't even look like Hitler. That'd be crazy.
Well, that's why you do it. It's like, don't worry, no one will know it's you.
Okay.
You're prosthetic.
He was the guy in the eyeglass episode of Twilight Zone.
In the original?
In the 1988.
Okay, in the remake. He played the Burgess Meredith's character, right? Yeah. Okay.
I had time now.
Yeah. As Warren Cribbins. Okay.
Poltergeist the Legacy.
Yeah, I saw that too. Seeing as, I just finished 3 last night. I'm gonna check out the show.
Oh, I showed Brian and other friends The Pope's Exorcist.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, I gotta watch that one still.
They also loved it. Like, you got messages in the group chat like hours later from Sarah going, I can't stop thinking about Russell Crowe in that movie.
That is a glowing review. I gotta check it out. I really got to take.
So I watched a couple of decent movies, and then one kind of meh.
Okay.
Last Night at Terrace Lanes was way better than I was expecting. There's like some parts that really bother me. Like, someone's definitely filming on something handheld, because like there's a lot of the camera doesn't stay still, but it's not as like shaky as like a found footage movie.
Okay.
It's about a like bowling alley that's on doing its like last night before it like closes forever.
Okay.
And then this like weird math cult like locks the doors, kidnaps everyone, and like is trying to get on their hill bop.
Okay.
But they need an exact number of dead people, and it's like it's all right. It's better than I was expecting it to be.
From what year was this made? What era?
Like in the past 5.
Okay. It's a modern era movie.
It's a post-2020.
Okay.
Then After Midnight, which I was just scrolling through things on Hulu, and I'm like, oh, what's this one? And then I see in the starring section, first name, Henry Zabrowski.
Oh, no.
He plays like a side character, but he's really good in it. It's about this guy who's like, fiance moves, or I guess not fiance yet, but like girlfriend moves out, like just disappears for like 3 months, and ever since she left, like at around midnight, the house gets attacked by some sort of monster.
Okay.
That one was really good. I was very surprised with that one. And the ending is fucking great.
Okay.
And
what was it called?
After Midnight.
After Midnight, okay.
That one's also on Hulu I think Pope's Exorcist was on Hulu also. No.
Okay.
Fucking Devil Conspiracy was on Hulu.
That's right. That's right. That's the other one I gotta watch still.
And then there was a thing in my list on Netflix for years, or maybe a couple of years. It was called Blood Red Sky.
I've seen the thumbnail.
Not bad. Like, I wouldn't watch it again, but it was fun to watch once.
Okay.
I don't really don't want to say anything else about it, because it is full of, like, weird twists.
Okay.
Yeah. And then everything else I watched was just things I've shit seen before.
You're just classic schlock.
Nazula, Friday the 13th, Psycho Goreman, Dr. Sleep, Leprechaun.
Yeah, schlock, all of it. Get it to varying degrees. There are layers of schlock.
Yeah.
Not everything can be Leprechaun, all right?
Not everything can be Nazula the Rat Monster.
That is true. Not everything can have preposterous menu music.
Ugh. It's also the end credits music, but
yeah, no, they did.
That's true. They had a missed opportunity to use that during a fight scene. It was very dramatic.
Yeah.
No, I saw Megalopolis. I don't. It's got its moments.
Yeah. Is it worth me going to see if I don't have to pay for it?
If you don't have to pay for it, go. So that's the thing. Is I love geriatric cinema, and this is like the height of it. So there's just things that he forgets, and it happens. Shia LaBeouf is actually pretty good. Everyone is a different kind of movie.
That's what I heard. That they're all.
It's I don't know.
I also heard there's a character just named Wow Platinum.
So that I forgot that that's her name until later, in a very specific Shia LaBeouf scene that happens. But yeah, her name is Wow. I was like, okay. So I knew it was going to happen because I've seen this in another movie. But there's a scene where a guy's in bed. He pretends to have a boner. And I won't tell what happens. But it has an incredible death scene. It's like the way
these two statements
back to back. The way that this plays out is kind of worth. I mean, okay, if it's free, it's worth it. But it's. I think this is what having like your brain being in a haze all the time is like. It's pretty cool. Adam Driver just talks like this all the time. he's in that mode. He's just kind of always like this. And yeah, everyone is a different kind of movie. Wow is totally like a influencer.
Jeez.
Shia LaBeouf is Shia LaBeouf. Dustin Hoffman's there for no reason. And I just forget who everyone's related to. I forgot that Schwartzman is like his nephew. Because he doesn't need to be in the movie at all doing what he's doing. There's a lot of people that don't need to be in the movie.
That's a shame because I love Schwartzman. He's on my short list of people to play Daggett.
I think he has 3 lines.
Really? Interesting. It's kind of crazy. You know, I mean, this just reminds me that he's only, honestly, all these actors are only getting older, and I'll probably never have my chance to make my Angry Beavers movie.
No. You gotta hurry up. That's the thing. It's like, Lawrence Fishburne's out. He's not gonna be in it. But Daggett, live. AI doesn't take it away.
That's true. But yeah, I don't know if that's... I get Owen Wilson for Norbert at this point. I don't know if I even want him per se.
What was even the last thing Owen Wilson was even in?
Drill Bit Taylor for sure. No, I don't know.
No, the problem is, what's crazy is that like Wes Anderson's going to do it and you're going to be so mad.
No. Okay. Look, here's the thing. All right. Unlike Del Toro making Shape of Water and just stifling any chance I'd ever have to remake Revenge of the Creature, at least if Anderson made it, it would look similar to how I would probably make Angry
That's
Beavers.
True. Right.
So I would, it would be like, okay, that's like more or less what I wanted to do anyway. So, okay.
Schwartzman, Owen Wilson.
Man, this
there,
is, it's this is be... weird.
What?
Owen Wilson's filmography. So like, he's pretty busy from like at least one movie a year from, at least two movies a year, Jesus Christ, from 96 all the way to 2017. Then,
okay.
Then, next, after 2017, next movies in 2021, or he has two, he's got Bliss and The French Dispatch.
Yeah.
And then 2022, Marry Me and Secret Headquarters. And then 2023, Ant-Man and Wasp, Quantumania, Paint, and Haunted Mansion. Yeah.
He was in Quantumania. Oh, he's at the end.
Yeah,
he's in
plays,
the post-credit sequence.
He's Mobius from the Loki TV show.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch of, he was also doing TV.
It's crazy to me to think that it, like, his fourth movie, well, third movie really, is Anaconda. Okay. And his fifth movie was Armageddon.
Yeah.
But then he was like also in Permanent Midnight.
He was in Cable Guy.
Yeah.
I love that movie. I watched it like a couple years ago just to see if it was still good. It's still pretty good.
No, it's crazy to me because people hate that movie.
People can go fucking suck a dick.
Hey, look, I don't disagree with you, all right? What's crazy to me, though, is that his credit in that oh my God, I can't remember his name now. I'm forgetting everything. That Spike Jonze skate video is not credited on here. So I just...
Let's end this.
You don't want to talk about Spike Jonze skate videos?
Yeah,
videos?
Right is the name of it.
We can
yeah,
talk
Ryan
about
Garrett.
We can talk about that off air.
People
no,
need to.
No,
this
but
is the real news.
There's a Bigfoot in it.
He does Bigfoot himself in that. Basically.
They're like, oh look, it's Jack Nicholson, but it's not Jack Nicholson because behind the fake Jack Nicholson is a Bigfoot, Garrett. And that's why no one can see that he's just
I'm always a fan of a person playing their character in the video game adaptation. Like, he played Lightning McQueen in Cars and Cars Fast as Lightning and Kinect Rush, a Disney Pixar adventure, and then Lego's The Incredibles, all credited as Lightning McQueen.
Yeah.
Is Cars in the Kingdom Hearts yet?
No.
Oh my god, Alan. Why would you unleash this on my brain? I literally never would have thought that. And I need Cars Sora so badly. You have no idea.
Summon Mater.
Oh my goodness. I would never stop using Mater. All
you need to do to be a cryptozoologist is say you're a cryptozoologist.
Gator Don Car. I don't know what he says in Cars.